is hard to tell the night from day. Still that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. Sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. And oh, if the storm don't cease, and just in case the wind
listen here. Most gracious and eternal Father, we thank you so much again for the opportunity to come and to share again in this worship experience. We're grateful because we know that you are a good God, an awesome God, a great God, and we are grateful that our soul has been anchored. With all of the challenges that are going on in the world as it relates to the climate, the fires, the loss of life as a result of this pandemic, this social injustice and presidential election, we know that you are a God who sits high and looks low. You are God and God alone. And we worship you today because we know that there is no other God before you. And we're grateful today. We're thankful today. We honor you today. Now, God, it's preaching time. We pray in particular, oh God, again, that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. Touch, oh God, these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. And oh God, we pray that you speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high. And when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all praise, all glory, certainly all honor, which is already yours. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. And together, all of God's children shouted, amen. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, this wonderful music department. Amen. And for our sister, Yaquincia, leading us today to lift up the Lord. Amen. She is one of God's gifts to the kingdom. Amen. With her voice. Amen. Good to see all of you and out there on the internet, Facebook Live and YouTube. And also if you're logged in on our website, good to see you this morning. I pray all is well with you as we come to worship together. Good again to see our pastor emeritus in the house, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Amen. He's been faithful in coming. Even in his retirement, somebody else say, man, he's showing up, amen, trying to support this this old man. I'm the old man, amen, and we're grateful to have him with us again today, amen. If you have your Bibles, we'll continue with our series out of the book of James. We're journeying through James, and I pray that you are walking with us. We'll be preaching verse by verse. Today we're going to highlight, we left off last week off at verse 11. We're going to pick up right at verse 12. And so we pray you get your Bible or your smartphone or your iPad in your hand, and let's read together James, the first chapter, verse 12. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. It reads as follows: Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. I'll stop there, and I want to talk for a timely tidbit, the paradox of trials, the paradox of trials. Amen. The paradox of trials. Amen. Listen, beloved, a paradox is the principal belief or doctrine that is contrary to perceived opinion, or a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet perhaps it is true. A paradox, a self-contradictory statement that at first seems true. It's an argument that apparently derives self-contradictory conclusions by valid deductions from acceptable premises. And when James uses blessed and trials in the same statement, it sounds literally like a contradictory statement. How can I be blessed and in a trial at the same time? At first glance, it doesn't sound true to me. It seems like a paradoxical statement. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. Listen, beloved, James has already written about the various kinds of trials that we faced and the testing of your faith early on in the chapter. He talks about wisdom in the trial, and if perhaps the trial has left you with much or nothing at all, it doesn't matter, rich or poor, he says you still have to depend on God. In our text, James again returns, if you would, to the subject of testing and trying, and of the subject of testing and trying experience that we will inevitably encounter in this life. He teaches us that there is a blessing in the burden. He says, in essence, that there is a prize for those who will pass the problematic test. He states that, yes, it might be painful. There's the paradox. Here it is. It can be profitable. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't sound like it. And somebody can shout, it certainly doesn't feel like it. I know that's right. But looking at this wonderful verse, there are some truths that James gives us to encourage us to endure trials while keeping our eyes on the prize that awaits us. Notice this paradox, if you would. Notice the truths that James lifts up out of the text. James speaks to us, first of all, about the result that is possible during the trial. Watch this. He says, watch, that there are two words, verse 12, that I already stated, seem not to go together. They are the words blessed and trials. Just as strange as it was to hear James say, count it all joy when you encounter various kinds of trials, it is just as strange to hear the word blessed and the word trials in the same sentence. It is strange, if you would, to declare that a man is blessed who has endured trying times in his life. We already know that the word blessed can literally be translated happy. It is the same word that Jesus used on the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, blessed are the poor, or blessed are the meek, or blessed are they that mourn, etc., etc. And here, James teaches us in this verse that is absolutely possible that the experience that one is going through right now will eventually work out for our good. That is, beloved, the ideal of Romans 8:28 that says, and we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. That's the ideal here that James lifts out when he says, blessed. Blessed. That's the word that he says that one can have if they endure trials. Though it may be hard to see it while you are in the trial or the test, while you are going through it, notice that James says the result of the trial could be, watch this, a surprisingly blessed experience. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up. He says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. Again, beloved, this just strikes me as a silly statement. Somebody might be saying, James, you cray cray. Come on, somebody help me. You might be saying, James, you ain't thinking straight. Are you sure enough? Can't be talking about me because you don't know what I'm going through. James is saying, yes, you can be blessed if you remain steadfast under trials. Listen, we think of a blessing as as coming to us in the form of good things and pleasant things. When we say stuff like, God bless me with a good job, or God bless me with good health, or God bless me with my boo. Come on, somebody help me. The truth is, we don't ever hear somebody say in church, I want to thank God for the blessing of going through this crisis. We don't ever hear somebody say, I thank God I lost my job. We don't ever hear somebody say, I praise God my spouse went home to be with the Lord. Well, I'm sorry, some of y'all might say that. Amen, somebody. Just depends on what kind of marriage you in. I know Sister Reese probably be shouting right around there, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. He went home to be with the Lord. He ain't got to bother me no more. I wish somebody would help me. Listen, we laugh, but the truth is we normally don't hear things like that when we come to church, nor is that what James is encouraging us to do. He says, what he is saying, though, is that the burdens of life can very often prove to be some of the blessings in life. I know I got some witnesses in here, because have you ever seen somebody go through a trying crisis or trial in their life, and then they look back on it and say, even though it was a difficult experience, somebody can, you know, testifies that they say, I'm glad that it happened. I've been saying that about this COVID-19 crisis that we're going through right now. I've been saying that about this pandemic pause that we're in, because I found that although this pandemic has been a major inconvenience for little old me, listen, I've even lost folk I love from the virus, but what has been a significantly burdened experience has turned out to be a surprisingly blessed experience. Has it been hard, difficult, or problematic? Come on now, you know it has. But it also has been helpful, and it is something that I can look back on and say, I thank God for. Even though it's been tough, even though it's been difficult, even though it's been challenging, even though I've been going through it, I can look back on it during this pandemic, and I can shout and give God praise, because although it's been painful, it also has been purposeful. I wish somebody would help me. Although I've had to hurt sometime, God has helped me out. Although I've had to lose some stuff, God has given me some laughter during this time. And I know I'm not in here by myself, because some of y'all can testify being locked up with your loved ones was a nightmare in the making. But through the pandemic, you were able to get closer by playing checkers, chess, or Uno. I wish somebody would help me. A Monopoly. You may, through the pandemic, lost your job, but somebody can shout that even through the pandemic, I got more resources now than I had when I was working. I wish somebody would help me. Some of y'all was getting the middle-aged buzz, but this pandemic pause caused became a blessing, because your regimented workouts began to help you out. Come on, somebody help me. And you started doing some pushing back from the table, the tater chips and the tantalizing Twinkies. I wish somebody would help me. You got an opportunity to work on your fitness, your family, your future, your finances, and even your faith. Somebody can say, I done spent a whole lot of time with God, because I've had a whole lot of time on my hand. Is anybody listening to me? I like the way somebody put it when they said it this way. If Joseph had been an Egypt prisoner, had not been an Egyptian prisoner, he would have never been an Egyptian governor. The iron chains around his feet ushered in the golden chains around his neck. Can I help you real quick? Joseph probably would say amen to verse 12 of chapter 1. in James, because he knew that our trials can actually prove to be a surprisingly blessed experience, that although it may be painful, God has a way of blessing you in spite of what you're going through. I wish I had somebody to say amen right here. In spite of the pain, in spite of the challenges, in spite of the difficulty, and in spite of the hurt, in spite of the hellish situation, God has a way of turning things around. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, what the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. Is that all right to say on this fifth Sunday in August? Listen, beloved, the truth of the matter is, not only is it a surprisingly blessed experience, that could be one result, but another result can be a spiritually beneficial experience. Watch this. Look again at verse 12. James says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast on the trials, for when he has stood the test. Watch this. Note the phrase, for when he has stood the test, for when he is tried, in other versions. The word stood the test speaks of the process of testing something in order to prove it. It is the process of validation, authentication, proof, and justification. And for that reason, many translations read, when he has been approved or proven. In this phrase, watch this, we have what should be the utmost ambition and aim of the Christian life, to be approved by God. Are you hearing me? That ought to be utmost. That ought to be our aim, to not just please man, but we want to please God. We want God to say amen. We want God to approve of us. And that's why Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, line 4, when he said, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one that enlisted him as a soldier. There it is, right there. We want to please God. We want to please the one who has enlisted us as a soldier in his army. That is, when we sing, I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. And listen, we often so worry about what others think of us, and we do so much in search of the approval and acceptance of people around us. What they say to us and about us has the capability of driving us. But really, in reality, what really matters is not what other people say about you. It's what God says about you. And other people can say whatever they want about you, but you better recognize that it has no merit. It is not what God says about you. Are you listening to me? That's why I hope some of these brothers who are out there marching on the street recognize that no matter what they try to do to us or say to us or say about us, it does not matter, because we have been made by the hand of an omnipotent God. We've been made by the one who has all power in his hand. And if you are a child of God, it does not matter what other people say about you. That was for free. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you better recognize, you better rather please God than to please man. However, what matters most, my brothers and sisters, is not the admiration of our neighbors, but the approval of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that approval, hear me, in the text suggests that God comes through, when we come through the trials and tests and demonstrate the reality and strength of our faith in God. That's when we are approved of God, when we come through it. And it is a spiritually beneficial experience when we come through trials and tribulations in our life. That's why we can be blessed, watch this, by the endurance of trials, by the fact that we hung in there. It is spiritually beneficial. There's a poem I dearly love, and it speaks of God making of a man that he uses. Part of that poem says it like this: how he hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into trials, shapes of clay, which only God understands. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects. How he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses, and with every purpose fuses him. By every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. Listen, James is reminding us in verse 12 that though the situation may wear the robe of a test and a garment of a trial, it may actually prove to be a blessing in the end. I know you ain't feeling that right now because you're hurting, you're going through it, you're dealing with it, you're trying to handle it. But I'm trying to suggest to you that the result of that thing that you're going through right now, that trial, tribulation, problem, or situation, it may turn out to be a blessing in the end. Listen, what you ought to learn how to do is just give God praise right now. Don't wait until the battle is over. Somebody out there need to shout right now. I'll give you 5 seconds before I move on to just wave your hand in the air. Just tell God thank you. I know I'm still in it, but I'm going to give you praise. I know I'm still hurting, but I'm going to give you thanks. I know I'm still dealing with it, but I'm going to lift up your holy and righteous name. I see you in your living room, in your bedroom. I see you giving God praise. I see you trying to tell God, in spite of what I'm going through, I'm still gonna give your name praise. Is that all right to say? Listen, beloved, not only do we see the result when you talk about the paradox of the trials, we see the result of trials, but we also, the text suggests that we see the resolve that is paramount in the trial. Watch this. There has to be some resolve. There has to be some stick-to-itness. There has to be some hang in there. That there's an important link in the chain between the trial and the blessing. Listen, the link is found in the word stood. Everybody shout stood. Go ahead. Stood. Amen. James says, blessed is the man who stood the test. The presence of trials in our life, watch this, does not guarantee a blessing in your life. Just because you're going through it don't mean it's going to turn out to be a blessing. The blessing of a test is only found in passing the test. Come on, somebody help me. It's only found when we learn how to endure the trial. In other words, it is of utmost importance. It is paramount that we resolve to remain faithful in the face of trials. Watch this. Why? Because resolve involves commitment. It's in the test. Mark the word stood there. Verse 12. If you look back in verse 3, notice the word patience. It's the same word translated stood, but it's in the verb form. Hupomeno in the Greek. The word stood is a compound word, and it simply means to stay under. Watch what he's saying here. Think about that. When trials come in our life and we find our faith being tested, our temptation is to try to escape the trial. Come on, somebody help me. You ain't got to say amen right here. Our temptation is to run from that which is challenging us. And our temptation is to say, I'll holler to the hellish hurt. Our temptation is to say deuces to the difficult dilemma. Our challenge is to say peace to the problematic predicament. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya to the sad situation. However, as we learn when we study the opening verses of James, is that there is more value in enduring trials than there is in escaping them. There is more value when we learn how to hang in there than when we run, when we book, when we get ghosts, when we say giddy up. Come on, somebody help me. When we hang in there during trials, there is more value in hanging in there and enduring the trial. And therefore, we must make a commitment to stand strong even in the face of trials. Listen, beloved, we must resolve that come what may, we are not going to fall apart, fall back, or fall away. We are going to determine to hang in there. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to walk away. We're not going to quit. We're going to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. We're going to hold on, keep our hand on the gospel plow, and we're going to hold on and not look back. Are you listening to me? We must nonetheless make a solid commitment to stand and endure in the presence of those things that test our faith in God. But not only does it involve a commitment, it also involves confidence. I wish somebody would help me. James says, blessed is the man who can endure his trying circumstances and pass the test of his life. Within the truth of the realization of the test, the trials, watch this, are not permanent. In other words, part of endurance is understanding that there will be a point when the trial, watch this, we are enduring will be over. I hope somebody gets that today, because somebody needs to know, because it reminds me of a lady who stood up in church and testified that her favorite word in the Bibles were, and it came to pass. It seemed like a strange thing to say until she said, cause whenever a storm comes in my life, I say, thank you, Jesus. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And somebody needs to get that today, because whatever storm that you are enduring in your life right now, whatever challenge that you may be going through, whatever difficult that you're trying to handle, even if though you're paused in this pandemic, locked up in the house, listen, it shall pass. It will not last always. And that's why, beloved, part of our resolve is that we have to have the wisdom and foresight to see that whatever we're going through will end one day. There will be an end to our adversity. Are you listening to me? And therefore, we need to stand up under the strain of trials and say with the psalmist in Psalm 30, verse 5, that say, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Can I give you just 5 seconds to shout real quick? Listen, if anybody knows the horror of going through something at night and recognize then that God works the night shift and joy came in the morning, you ought to pause right now, right where you are, and just tell God, thank you. Thank you that weeping does endure for a night, but hallelujah, joy came in the morning. Joy showed up on the scene during the daylight. Joy came up. I wish somebody would help me. As the sun came up, joy came up in my heart. And the joy of the Lord, I recognize, was my salvation. That's why you walk up in church every now and then when you're still going through stuff in your life. Not because you look good, feel good. You do it because you got joy in your heart. And the joy that you have, I wish I had time to tell you, the world didn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away. Preach, Pastor Reese. I think I am right along here. I'm feeling good right about now, because I know in spite of all that I've been through, I still have joy. Yes, sir. I know that's right. Listen, beloved, you got to have a confidence that when it comes to resolve, there has to be a commitment. You got to have confidence. And that's why, beloved, some of us can shout with the late Timothy Wright, "I'm so glad that trouble don't last always." Are you listening to me? Let me just give you this third truth. I'll let you go. Listen, beloved, not only do we see the result, not only do we see the resolve, but the text suggests that there is a reward. Help me hear somebody. That is promised after the trial. It's in the text. Verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials, but when he has stood the test," watch this, "he will receive," whoo, "the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." The primary reason that our trials can eventually become a blessing is because of the reward that is available to those who pass the test. Those who endure, James says, they will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Listen, think about that phrase with me. Notice the imagery. Watch this. The word crown in verse 12, James says that the crown awaits those who endure the trial and pass the test. When we think of a crown, we think of a golden jewel studded sort of hat, such as would be worn by a king, a queen. Come on, some of y'all in church, I wish somebody would help me. The Greek word for that kind of crown is the word diadem, is where we get our English word diadem from. That is not the word that James uses in verse 12. The word James uses here describes a type of wreath. It is a braid of leaves that would sit upon the head. This type of crown would be awarded in a couple of different settings. Watch this. For one, it was the crown that was awarded to the winner in the ancient games. There's a reminder here one day that if we remain faithful, if we hang in there, if we are going to finish our race in the Christian life, watch this, if we endure through all of the challenges, when we cross the finish line, there is a victor's crown waiting for us. Listen, this type of crown is also awarded to a conquering general or soldier who had won a key victory. James is reminding us that when the warfare and the struggle of this life is over, ooh, somebody ought to be shouting right now, there, those who have stood through the battles will be awarded a conqueror's crown. And perhaps Paul had this in mind when he quoted to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, where he says, "I fought a good fight, I finished my course, I've kept the faith, and henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but unto all them who love his appearing." James uses the imagery of a crown to teach us about the reward of endurance, that you want to hang in there because there is a reward at the end of the journey. Notice, not only does it give us the imagery, but it also gives us inspiration. Watch this. The Bible indicates that we will receive a crown and rewards in heaven, which we will subsequently lay down at the feet of Jesus. And I'm not sure, however, that James is talking about a literal crown in this verse. You see, in the original language, there is a little article just before the word translated life. The text could actually read like this: He shall receive the crown of the life. That's what it could read in the original language, rather than a literal crown. The reward of the life that we receive once we have passed the test of life. What is James talking about? Well, contrary to the title of a popular religious book, James is talking about receiving your best life later, not receiving it now. Now we got challenges. Now we got difficulties. Now we got pain. Now we got a whole lot of circumstances that we've got to endure, but there will be a better day coming. I wish somebody would help me. And James is literally saying that you shall receive the crown of the life, the eternal life that God has promised us, that there is a brighter day coming. Come on, somebody help me. That it is reminding, we're reminded of what James is saying here. He's telling us that when we wait patiently and endure the trials and tests of life, we will be rewarded with a trial-free, glorious, and eternally blessed life all of eternity, that there will be no more problems, no more pain, no more crying, no more tears, no more suffering. There is a bright side somewhere. And James is trying to remind us that our life down here, again, is only temporary, but there is a better life to come. That is the eternal life that God has promised us because of our relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? He's reminding us and inspiring us that a few fleeting days in which we must endure our trials, that we got to hang in there just for a little while longer, that we got to hold on until God comes back again, till we get to the other side. He's saying this is just fleeting. This is just for a moment. And that's the ideal that Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, line 17. It says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory." In other words, what we're going through right now is nothing in compared to what we will receive in eternity. And I hear you. I know you ain't got to tell me. Some of y'all saying, "Well, Pastor, I know I'm going to get better on the other side. I know I'm going to have no tears on the other side. I know I'm going to have no pain on the other side, but I just ain't ready to go now." I feel you. I ain't trying to go today myself. I want to get there one day, but while I'm here on this side, I wish somebody would help me. I'm going to give God praise, because when praises go up, I like the way we used to say it in days gone by, when praises go up, blessings come down. And I know just because I praise God, God ain't just pouring down blessing. But when I praise God, somehow or another, the blessing is that I feel just a little bit better. When I praise God through my problems, somehow or another, I just feel like everything is gonna be all right. That when I'm going through it and still can give God some glory. And I know some of y'all looking at me right now, you saying, "Pastor, I ain't that emotional. I ain't all of that. I don't do all of that waving of my hands. I'm not as demonstrative as you." Well, you ain't gotta be as demonstrative as me, but what you gotta do is learn how to praise God in your own way. I don't care if you wave your hand like this. I don't care if you wave it like, come on, somebody help me. But wherever you are, and when you look back over your life, and if it is God who has carried you through, you ought to give God some praise. You ought to tell him thank you. You ought to shout hallelujah. You ought to say glory. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Listen, beloved, while you're here and you're not on the other side, you might as well lift him up. I wish somebody would help me. Can I just help you real quick? Listen, Johnson Oakman wrote in a song that says, "I'll trade the old cross for a crown." The last verse of that song says, "Every cross that I bear for my Savior will at last, when a cause be laid down, and my sorrows will all be forgotten when I trade the old cross for a crown. Listen, beloved, I'm done when I tell you this. The cross of your present trial may be exceedingly heavy, but listen, don't let the difficulty of your trial cause you to forget the prize that God has promised you if you pass the test. Look beyond the battle and see the blessing. Are you hearing me? Look beyond the difficulty and see the delight, eventual delight. Look beyond the pain, help me hear somebody, and see the promise that you shall receive the crown of life when you endure. Resolve, hang in there, be committed. Don't give up, stand firm in the midst of your trial. Wait patiently on the Lord, and the Lord will come through for you. The songwriter says, some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away. I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. That will be one day, are you listening to me, that we will fly away and be at rest. There's a paradox. There's a blessing in the burden. There's a delight in the dilemma. That there is, beloved, a reward waiting for us if we endure the trial. Let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we admit that we're walking through some challenging times right now. The pandemic, social and racial injustice, black on black crime as well as young black men or men fearing the blue. Our world is in turmoil. In America, we are dealing with a presidential hopeful transition. We got so much going on right now. Nonetheless, these fires that are happening around us, you say in your word that we can be blessed in the midst of the trial. We pray, God, you give us resolve. Help us to stand firm. Help us to hang in there. Help us to not throw in the towel. Help us not to abandon our faith in God. Help us, Lord, to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your work, because we know that our labor is not in vain. It is through the tears, Lord, that we stand, even right now, recognizing that one day you shall wipe all tears from our eyes. Help us to keep our eye on the prize. Then, God, we pray, even as I pray now, that there might be someone out there that don't know you. They are struggling, trying to make it all by themselves. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch their heart even as we extend the invitation for them to come. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. It is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Listen, we want to extend the invitation for those who may not know the Lord. We've been talking about God says through James, blessed is the man who endures or stands the test. Now, first of all, that man, if you want to really be blessed, you got to know the Lord for yourself. Here we are, struggling on our own, in our own intellect, ingenuity, our own wisdom, and it is not working for us. Here's my plea today, that you would give God a try. That you done tried everything else. We done tried drugs. We done tried drinking, Try jumping from relationship to relationship. Just doesn't work. There's no fulfillment, no satisfaction. But you need to give God a try. And I'm a living witness that although it doesn't make you a perfect man, it makes you a pursuing man. When you get to know God for yourself, somehow or another, although life is still hard, at least you won't have to walk through it by yourself. That's what you learn, that there is a God who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that he will be with you always. Somebody out there right now, you need to know the Lord for yourself. How do you do that? Clearest verse in all of the Bible is Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You're here out there today. Listen, right across this screen, there's a number. You want to invite Christ into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of all of your wrongdoing. Listen, you call that number, and someone will be there to talk to you. If they're not there, they'll call you back. We'll lead you to know the Lord for yourself. We'll walk you through the steps of how to get to know God for yourself. And then, if you're out there, you say, I'm a Christian, Pastor, but I just don't have, I'm not connected. And I hear you. Somebody say, well, I don't need to go to some organized religion or some church. I can worship God at home. Well, if you believe in the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we ought not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There's strength in numbers, that when you're going through stuff in your life, you need a church family who can help you and to grow and mature and work through some stuff in your life. So I extend the invitation for you. The same number call. You want to be a member of this church. Listen, we've been here in the community of Oak Park for a long time, and we've been working hard for the Lord, and we're going to continue to work hard for the Lord, and perhaps God wants you to be part of this congregation. Listen, we extend that invitation to you. Call that number. We're praying for you even as we extend this invitation. Amen. So if you're there, go ahead and give it a call. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise be to God. Amen. Listen, I'm done for the day. I want to encourage you to give. We've already indicated, and again, at the end of this service, it will be indicated again that there are 5 ways to give. We made it easy for you. We encourage you to give. We've got a lot of work to do for the kingdom, and it is by your sacrificial, gracious gifts that we are able to do God has called us to do. And you already know we've got 19 properties that we need to go ahead and develop for the kingdom. I wish somebody would help me, and that's going to take finances. We're in the process of trying to build a senior center and a senior complex, and I you know the need for our seniors. So if you're out there and you want to be a blessing to St. Paul, you can do so. Amen. Don't let God use you so that we can continue the work that God has called us to do here in this wonderful city and this community of Oak Park. All right. Nothing else. I'll see you Wednesday. And if not, I should see you Wednesday, because you ought to be in somebody's Bible study. If not, I will see you on next Sunday. Somebody say amen. Let's pray together and we'll go. Again, God, we thank you so much. You're so kind, so gracious. Thank you for your word today. And thank you for the sweet sound of our sister, Sister Quincy, as she sang from her heart and unto the Lord. And then, Lord, we thank you as we gather today on this another Lord's Day. Help us to endure our trials. Help us to hang in there. Help us to be resolved. And then, God, we were praying for our community the fires and those that lost loved ones through the fire. We're praying through this pandemic, as we've also lost loved ones as well. We're lifting up our community and the injustices that are happening around us, knowing that you are a God of justice, and we know that in the end, it's going to be okay. We're going to trust you. Now, Lord, now unto him who's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before his throne of grace, unto the only wise God be power and dominion, hence now and forevermore. And together, all of God's children shouted, amen, amen, and amen. We'll see you. Amen.
St. Paul, this is your morning news.
Have a good day. Stay safe.
August 30th, 2020. Mm-hmm.